With Bill Spillane this hour, we talk about the fair tax, your questions, and also your IRS horror stories when we come right back. And welcome back to Coast. We're going to take your calls in just a second with Bill Spillane. Well, I would guess if this were put up to a vote, what do you think those percents of, yes, let's go for the fair tax would be, Bill?
Very hard to say, George. I think that they would maneuver around it procedurally, and they would get lots of votes for it, but it wouldn't quite succeed. They'd say, we have to go back to committee, and we have to study this more, and on and on and on. They have a million ways to mess it up. So I don't really know. There are many, many congressmen we've spoken to personally. For example, Rand Paul and Rohrabacher and others who will tell you, if it gets to the floor, I'll vote for it. Well, that's easy to say, because it's not going to get out of committee until the public rises up and say,
right,
we got to get rid of the tax code. What's the next best thing we could, how do we replace it? And this is the best way to replace it. And that's what's going to take the people, the Tea Party, or, and the rest of the people. You know, let's have a Tea Party Democrats group and get rid of the tax code. It's in everybody's interest. By the way,
sure would make life a little easier for people, wouldn't it?
Well, not just easier, but more prosperous, more secure, more stable. Oh boy, it's terrific. Now, by the way, I haven't mentioned, your listeners should know that they can get more information about the fair tax at fairtax.org, fairtax.org, all one word, fairtax.org. Thank you.
Okay, let's take some calls. Let's first of all go to Santa Claus, Indiana. I love that. Eric is with us. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, George, this is Eric. Basically, I'm in a tax nightmare. I'm a pharmacist working third shifts, making a little, let's just say, over the $100,000 a year range. But every year I pay around $49,000 to $50,000 in taxes. I have no dependents. I live in an apartment, and I don't have any tax shelters, so to speak.
Right.
So every year I'm paying out that $50,000 with no return.
Well, it's a nightmare, and the fair tax will really get you out of that. depending upon what you spend, it doesn't matter what you earn, but depending upon what you spend, you'll be down around in the 9 or maybe 10 to 11% overall tax rate, including payroll tax and income tax.
You know what's so amazing about this too, Bill, is, you know, you're not forced to have to go out to buy goods and services, though people will. At least it's your own money, right? So when you get your paycheck from your employer or however you get paid, you got it. It's yours.
All yours. It's your paycheck. You earned it, and it's yours. And if you choose to spend something, spend some of it, well, you'll pay a tax for that. But we have to support the army and the courts and the police and blah, blah.
Of course.
But it's only at your discretion. That's right.
You know, the gasoline tax, of course, will still stay as high as it is. Those who smoke, I do not. Cigarette taxes, those will stay in place, correct? Will
sure.
They go up a little bit?
That's completely dependent on what the Congress does. But we don't change that with the fair tax.
You do not?
Do not.
Okay. Eric, thanks for the call. Let's go to Wichita, Kansas. It's Daniel's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Daniel. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I've talked to you a few times.
Yeah.
I went from what I consider a relative high income. I worked for Boeing Military. I went from like $60,000. I broke my neck.
Oh, God.
And I went from that kind of income to $15,000 a year on disability security.
How did you do that? How did you make the change?
I'm still doing it. It's extremely difficult. I have a very small home that I had paid for. And when I hear this fair tax, this just drives me crazy to listen to this. Of course, I don't pay federal income tax, and I pay either very little or no state income tax. But what I do pay is 14% of my disability to tax between 7.5% when I go to buy food, when I go to buy gasoline.
See, you'd get the voucher under this program.
Well, yeah, and then we have a governor in this state called Brownback, and okay. He's put in by the Koch brothers, and he's supposed to be a fair person. I can't understand when I'm making $14,000, when I drop my income by 80%, 90, or, way over that, and I pay these taxes. Actually, I'm having a hard time paying my tax for my home.
The property tax, yeah.
Right, and I'm at between 14% and 15% when I figured it all up from all my taxes that is not federal tax or state tax directly going to the coffers.
All right, let's see how
tax.
Bill, how would this fair tax help someone like Daniel?
Well, Daniel would get in the prebate as a single person, he'd get $2,643 a year. And it probably wouldn't be taxable because of his low income.
Yeah.
So, and then some people will say, well, that's welfare. No, it's not. It's a return of taxes paid for anybody at any income level. So we're giving the taxes back. It's not a welfare check, but the low income people will benefit in this way. Now, some people might say, well, why don't we just give them a check and forget about the prebate for everybody else? Well, then we have to have an income tax. We have to have an IRS. We're trying to get rid of the income tax. We're trying to get rid of the IRS, and this is a simple way to do it. Everybody gets the prebate if they apply for it, and if you're a low-income person, you won't be paying much tax, if it is.
Let's go to our international line now. Wayne is in Montreal, in Quebec. Hey, Wayne, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Good evening. I just wonder if you are aware of a thing we have in Canada here. We have federal tax and some provincial taxes, though all sales provincial tax and some income taxes in two of the provinces, I think. But our taxes, our sales taxes up here are very, very high. And we have this thing called a goods and service tax rebate. It's a federal tax. And it was added many, many years ago, about 15 years ago. And since then, when the price of anything goes up, we have to pay more and more and more. And they give us these rebates. We get rebates after we file our tax forms about four times a year. And some of the provinces do it monthly. And it doesn't give us anywhere near the amount of money we put in. Here in Quebec, where I am, we pay 16% sales tax, which is why I love America and go down there a lot for a lot of things. But I think between the system that you're proposing, what's going to happen with your fair taxes, you may get that in, but you're never going to get rid of the IRS. You should be able to, but I don't see how that'll ever happen. And I'd like to know how you think your system might compare to our goods and services tax and how you think you would get rid of the IRS.
Well, getting rid of the IRS is part of the bill. We don't get rid of the IRS, we don't pass the fair tax. They're one and the same. So that's just absolutely essential that they are bonded together. So we will get rid of the IRS, and we will not add a value-added tax. There are a lot of different names for it, good services tax in some places, value-added tax in Europe and so forth. We're not going to do that, especially added onto an income tax. That's just suicide. In any case, we will get rid of the income tax, and we're just can-do people, and we're going to make it happen.
Well, good luck to you. I hope between that and Obamacare that the economy survives, because I think the Americans are paying plenty, but we still go down there because we still manage to pay less. So that's why I think your system is fairer, depending on where you are, maybe. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate you being part of that program. How many people, in order for this to go, you know, to get out of the House, to get the Senate to vote, what do you need? What do you need to do?
Well, it's the same story. We have to have the people calling their senators and their congresspersons to say, get rid of the damned income tax. It costs $1 trillion a year. It's ruining our lives. It's pushing jobs overseas, and we have to get rid of it. And what's the next best thing to replace it? Well, the fair tax. Well, let's do that. The people just have to revolt, like the Tea Party is revolting. It's the same thing, because if we don't have that, then the Congress people will go on saying, oh, I'm on your side, I'm for a flat tax or something like that, and nothing ever happens because they're raising money using the income tax code. So it's up to the people. If they don't rise up and do it and join the fair tax, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry.
Medicare and Social Security taxes, would they stay the same?
Yes, they will, because they'll be included in the tax that you pay at the cash register. So
oh, they would
no
be. Okay. So it won't be deducted out of your paycheck?
Not at all. No payroll tax whatsoever. No Medicare, Social Security tax, or any of that sort of stuff comes out of your paycheck. You get the whole paycheck, and when you go to the cash register and buy something, that's part of the tax on the goods and services.
If you have, and I don't know what the number is, but if you have 100,000 IRS employees right now, how many would you need for the collection purposes of the national retail tax?
Damn few, because not that they won't have a job, but we're going to be short of labor, as I indicated before. They'll have better jobs than they have at the IRS. But the taxes are actually raised through the states. And so most of the states have a taxing authority to collect sales taxes, and if a state does not, it can have a neighbor state collect or directly to the federal treasury. That's not a problem. So your state will collect the taxes, and they will remit it to the federal government. So the cost of the applying the tax code will go down 90% with the fair tax. So we're going to strip costs out like gangbusters with the fair tax, and it all goes back in your pocket. It's a good thing.
Melissa, Hilton Head, South Carolina. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. The Canadian caller brought up something important about the way the tax that is supposedly going to be less than what is currently being assessed will go up continuously, not necessarily a VAT. That's something else that can be put out there as well. But the real problem with this is it's not like a flat tax where everybody pays something. This tax, if it becomes law, will still have a lot of paperwork and the rebates and all of that, which are really subsidies, as another caller brought up. But the real problem is that this will wipe out all the tax burden on the people who are of a certain age and generation, some of whom have multiple houses, cars, boats, airplanes, most of the goods they need. And the tax burden will fall on younger people who are just getting a start, college kids, middle-aged, middle-class families, people with kids in college, because they're going to be paying all the tax burden. The people who have all this tax-deferred money will be able to get their money out without having to pay taxes on it. That's what this is really all about.
This is really all about reinaugurating the United States as a source of growth and productivity and to bring the jobs back. That's what it's about. This is more progressive than the current income tax. So people at the low end pay no taxes at all. In fact, they get a couple of bucks in their pocket. And as you spend money, as you increase the spending, then your taxes go up. And as I said, a median income person pays only 9%. We're going to strip out all the costs. The costs are tremendous, over $1 trillion just to have the income tax. That goes back into the taxpayer's pocket, so he pays lower taxes overall. You're going to have about 25% more in your pocket every year, every month, every day. So that's baloney. There's all kinds of stories like that. Oh, my gosh, this guy's going to get hurt, and that guy's going to get hurt, and he's going to be benefited. I don't want that guy benefited and so forth. It's all nonsense, and we have to cut that stuff out.
Bill, you know, the IRS has been used also to nail criminal activities. You know, Al Capone got nailed and so many other people got nailed because of that. That will go away. What do you think the Department of Justice will say? Because it has been, I think, an easy tool to get these would-be criminals.
Oh, yes. office, and it's an easy tool to stamp out the Tea Party, and it's an easy tool to intimidate pastors so they don't use the First Amendment. And it's an, you get my point. Why should you have the Gestapo so that you catch a few bad guys? Why don't you just improve the Justice Department and the FBI and so forth and catch the bad guys the regular way instead of impugning and hurting all the American people so that you've got that bully mechanism in your pocket? I don't like it.
Next up, let's go to Troy in Norfolk, Virginia. Thanks for calling, Troy. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
My question, I'll take the answer off the phone. I hear on the news how big businesses, large businesses, you know, global businesses, that pays no income tax at the end of the year. I'm just wondering, how is that done? Thank you.
Okay. And he's right. There are a lot of major corporations that do not pay income tax at all, Bill.
Okay, here's a little economics lesson. First of all, and I will address that question. I'm glad to address that question. In fact, I'll address it first. They don't pay any taxes because they have friendly Congress people who are only too happy to manipulate the tax code for the benefit of those people. Of course, the Congress people get a benefit too, but oh, that's okay. They get reelected somehow. They get the cash to do the things that the General Electric and all the others that don't pay taxes want. It's just that simple. Quid pro quo. But it's legal, and we shouldn't put up with it, but it's true. Now, here's the little economics lesson. Corporations do not pay taxes. Let's have a little story here. You go to the movies with your child. Let's say you're an adult. You go to the movie with your child, and you're standing in line waiting to pay for the tickets. And you get a phone call, and you say, I'll step out away from the line here so that I can hear this person talking to me. And you, my child, take the money and buy the tickets when you get to the front of the line. Okay, Pop, I'll do that. So the kid gets to the front of the line, and he hands over the cash, and he gets the tickets. Fine. Now, who paid the taxes? Who paid for the tickets? Well, the kid did. Where'd he get the money? He got it from Papa. Well, who paid the taxes? Well, the kid did. No, Papa paid it. That's called incidence of taxation. Okay? So the point here is corporations pass all of their costs on to their customers. Actually, there are two other places they can push their costs, either to the employees or to the owners. So there's only three places that a corporation has an incidence of taxation, like the Papa in this little story I'm telling you. The only three places: the customer, the employees, or the owners. Now, if it's the customer, prices go up, and he's paying it. You see that happening all the time in your local gas station. When the price of crude oil goes up and down, your gasoline costs go up and down. They're just passing on the cost to you. Well, we got to hit those major employers. We got to nail those guys. They're getting rich. Well, they're going to pass those costs on to you. The other way, alternative, is if they can't pass the cost on because of business conditions and so forth, then they'll try and take it out of the employees' pay. They lower the pay of the employees, or at least don't raise it, so the employees are paying the taxes. The last resort is they pay it, the owners pay it themselves. And guess what? If the owners pay the taxes or increase costs for any reason, they're looking for someplace to take that business, like overseas. And it would be better off if they were overseas and they just sold into the United States. We actually subsidize foreigners for selling into the United States, and we punish Americans for producing in the United States through the tax code and trying to sell overseas. Is that nuts or what?
It's nuts. Bill, we're coming back to take final calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we'll talk about ET cases, some of the work of the late Dr. Roger Lear, followed by J.J. Hertak joining us, noted author, as we talk more about strange things going on this universe. Have you had a chance yet to watch our television program, Beyond Belief? You can. It is 10 days free. I'm telling you, so many people are signing up to watch it. It is truly an amazing program. We're very proud of it. Just go to this website, www.beyondbelief.com. Okay, the blood moon eclipse is beginning, and in case you're in the house or you can't see it outside because it's cloudy, we have a live link for you at coasttocoastam.com and our Twitter feed, so you can go take a look at that as well. It's probably about halfway clipped already. Wonders of space, Mr. Spillane. Do you ever get involved in that?
Well, only as an observer. I love the stars and so forth, and I point to people how they can find the North Star and the Southern Cross and Orion, and it's all very interesting. I learned that early in my career with Pan Am. I showed up as a pilot, and they said, fine, now you have to navigate. I said, what? I'm a fighter pilot. Hey, go to navigation school. So I learned all that stuff whether I wanted to or not, and I really enjoy it, but I'm no expert.
Let's go to Ron in Hitchcock, Texas. Hey, Ron, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Bill.
Morning.
Hi.
I think this fair tax thing is awesome. I think you got a good thing going there, but we need to be careful, and I'm going to tell you why. I spent 13 months in Vietnam, and, you know, I was drafted. I got early out. I was reading it was 13 months, and ever since then, I come back and I started studying about what's going on in the world and studying about the conspiracy and the things that shouldn't be happening. We both, I think, all know that the IRS is unconstitutional, and that's all there is to it. It's just downright made stupid. I think the elitists have made it that way, and I'm afraid that when they bring in or try to bring in this new world order, it's going to have a taxation beyond our belief. It's just crazy what they're doing. And I agree with Bill 100% of, you know, the things that he talks about. And I don't know what to do except follow the Lord, you know.
Well, that may be the only thing we can do, Bill, unless you can pull this off and get it done, huh?
Right. But let's take that as an offer to step up the conversation on a slightly higher level and how really important what we're talking about tonight really is. We have a deficit of $17 trillion. That's colossal. But that's only the cash deficit. We really have an indebtedness of over $200 trillion. Now, that is unpayable. It's absolutely unpayable. And the Federal Reserve is cranking out new money, spendable stuff. They do it with digits on a computer, $85 billion a month. They're destroying the dollar. And if we lose the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency of the world, and we're on the way to doing that, we will really pay a price for that. So a recent chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, an admiral, when he was asked, what's the biggest security threat to the United States today? He's a military guy, supposed to know about security threats. You know what he said? He said the deficit. Because if we have deficits where we can't buy a military, we're toast. It's that simple. Now, the fair tax will allow us to grow. How do we grow? How do you get a new job? There's three things to a new job, if I may say so. Number one is a good idea. Well, maybe an invention or a better way to make a pizza. Do we have good ideas? We got lots of them. Well, then you need, number two, you need somebody to manage the good idea. Do we have good people to manage? Absolutely, we got lots of them. What's missing? The investment. If you don't have investment, you can't pay for the computers, you can't pay for the real estate, you can't hire employees and train them. You got to have investment. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, Dodd-Frank, for one thing, has made everybody very uneasy. They don't know where the country's going. Obamacare has made it so that people don't want to invest here. It's easier to invest overseas. It's nuts. And the only way we'll get growth is get the investment rolling, and that's what the fair tax will do. And that lady who thinks it's all for the old-timers, nuts, it's for the young people. They'll have jobs to go to. The IRS people will have someplace to get a better job. It's going to be terrific in the terms of growth. That's what we need to get out of this mess that we're in is the fair tax.
And I really believe it's going to create a robust economy.
Absolutely, sir.
Let us go next to Jack in Oceanside, California. Good morning, Jack. Go ahead.
Well, you know, George, the number one reason why I'm opposed to the personal income tax is because it's the only tax I know of that requires self-assessment, which automatically makes it a potential criminal event. But here's the two problems I think your guest has. And let me lay them out, and then I'll listen to his response. Number one, Obamacare depends on the IRS for enforcement. So what happens to Obamacare? The other thing is, and this would be my opposition to his plan, The only way I would go on board with what he's proposing is if at the same time we repeal the 16th Amendment, which would make it unconstitutional to collect a personal income tax both at the federal and the state level. I want to kill this beast, and I don't want to end up with a sales tax and an income tax.
Well, we addressed that earlier, sir, in the sense that companion legislation, after we pass the Fair Tax, which includes getting rid of the IRS, so then we'll have no IRS, and we'll have the Fair Tax, and people are going to like it very much immediately, and then we'll have the 16th Amendment hanging around. Well, with companion legislation, we repeal the 16th Amendment. That's part of the program. It's not part of the original legislation, but it is part of the program to get rid of the 16th Amendment, and I agree with you in that regard.
You know, also, though, I think if you're going to have the Fair Tax, you've got to have some form of revenue coming in at the same time, don't you? You just can't stop one thing.
Well, when we asked Alan Greenspan when he was Fed chairman, is he for it, or and how much notice would he need and so forth? He said, yes, I'm for it. And number two is I need 6 months. 6 months. And we go cold turkey. And the money will start flowing in right away because people spend money. They keep on spending. Their income may be interrupted because they don't have a job, but right. People have to eat. They have to pay the rent and the mortgage and so forth. They keep spending. They either get it out of savings or a credit, or they get it from neighbors or friends or whatever the case may be, but people keep spending. The money will come in immediately.
Mike is in St. Louis. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, good evening.
Hi.
Bill, first of all, I commend you for having the courage to have this vision and to stick with it and to get the word out there and to just be as diligent as you are about this whole thing. That's great, and there should be a bunch more Americans in line behind you acting the same way.
There are. There are lots of us.
I gather that from what I've seen in your movement. I actually am subscribed to your emails, and I get regular updates about what's going on. Now, this is the problem that I see, all the kind things I just said. The issue is the currency itself, the fact that it's a debt-based currency. So in order for a dollar to exist, it has to be borrowed into existence. And then for the interest to be paid, the interest would have to be borrowed as well. So it's a system which is designed to fail. And until that's corrected, I don't see how, changing the income tax structure as it exists now is like turning the thermostat down in hell 25 degrees. It's going to take you a little longer to bake. What most people don't, and I'm sorry, I'm going to babble and then I'm going to shut up. What most people don't understand is that our country, our government is not a lawful government. It's not the constitutional republic we were given. The Constitution was swapped out during the Civil War. We now run under a different constitution, and we have a corporate government. If you look it up, our U.S. Code 28, I believe it's subsection 3002 in the definitions, and in several Supreme Court cases, the United States is defined as a federal corporation. And the way that we are taxed is that we're all classified as sub-corporations or franchises, if you will. So until this is addressed and people come to understand this and how they're getting away with it, people cite the Constitution. The Constitution, we weren't a party to it. The Constitution is their problem, not ours. We don't get rights from the Constitution. The Constitution is here to tell them what they can't do in order to continue to exist. And that's the paradigm shift that people need to have. This is not our government. And the most American thing that you could do would be to stop giving this government money. What you're doing is you're giving our government's evil twin money to lord over us. We have to cut off that money. We have to imprison these people who are doing this to us. We have to get back control of our money supply. And then what you're doing is a wonderful idea.
Thank you very much. I once was in commercial real estate, and people asked me, do you get a place to sell? Or do you ask for people who will buy something first? And I said, you do everything at once. Yeah. You're looking for buyers, you're looking for sellers, and you put them all together. And it's the same thing with this. I admire you for your zeal in looking all of these things up. I appreciate that. But we have to do what is in front of us. And this is in front of us, and the people can understand it. And we have to do this, and maybe we'll do what you're proposing also later or at the same time.
Perfect time of year to talk about this bill, and the secret is to get people interested in it all year round, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they won't have to do it anymore after the fair tax. They'll never have tax records to keep unless they want to for their business purposes or anything of that sort. They'll never file another tax return, period.
Okay. Let's go to Sam in Rochester, New York. Hi, Sam. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Norrie. I'm glad I was able to get online. In response to the fellow that was on disability, let me give you a little feedback on how this stuff works when you worked your keister off, and you're a middle-aged man in New York, and you paid for your college cash out of pocket, served your country, and out of chance became disabled. You get a little check in the mail, okay, and it's not a paycheck, as some might refer to it. It's something that you paid into. Now, I'll give you my amount that I get off that I get for annually, $11,200 from a guy who was billed out as a contractor at $6 an hour and was able to buy and do anything that he wanted and had investments. Now I'm in this hole. If it wasn't for my credit and my credit cards and my family, I would not be able to survive. This is horrible. Now, you get your little check in the mail. Now, this is what we do here in New York. I have to turn around when I get that small check. I have to give back the state X amount of money. It's called a spend down. So because they consider my $11,200 as too much money. So I have to turn around and give the state back X amount of dollars, which is approximately, I think, I'll give you about an estimate of $150, not to disclose too much information about my person.
Understand.
But this is what I have to do, Mr. Norrie. I just got internet, sir, 3 weeks ago. I'm already contemplating on disconnecting it because I'm thinking it's the biggest mistake and regret that I have, sir, even though I know the joining the insider group and all these little luxuries in life are what they are, luxuries, cable TV and smartphones. I have none of that no more. None of it. I could live without it. Granted, when I was all fine and dandy making money, but I tell you, Mr. Norrie, when we're putting this in this situation and where I have to fast at least minimally once a week just to maintain food, and then on top of that charge and put myself in debt after debt after debt. I'm in the hole so much just to get a pair of sneakers. Come on. There's something wrong on both sides of the aisle, man. And this is not just me. This is people that I know that I meet through VA or just out there. I mean, I want to go back to college. I just talked to my captain. He said, buddy, I'm sorry. Can't help you. You don't qualify for squat. He told me case closed. I said, nothing, nada. I can't even go to the local community college. I don't know, Mr. Norrie. I'm sorry if I babbled, but I tried to get as much in as I could.
Fine, Sam.
Because I wanted to show you what we're really going out through. Now I'm getting a little
well,
nervous.
Let's bring in Bill. And Bill, how many Sams are out there? How many people like Sam are having problems in this country?
Oh, boy. Millions. Absolutely.
At least.
Yes, sir.
And growing?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And it's going to be worse if we don't get people back to work. Yep.
Let's go to Angela, Fire Island, New York now. Hey, Angela, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, actually, I'm not going to go into this, but I'm another person stuck in the same situation as your previous caller. There are a couple of scary things that you said. Now, I'm all for we got to reform the system. But everything that I've read says that any tax that's based mainly on retail purchases is going to the main burden obligation is going to go to unfairly onto the poor working class. Wealthy people don't get taxed on the products that they purchase most of with their money, which is stocks and investments. They're not taxed at all. There was a wonderful article recently in the New York Times about how these people by artwork worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and instead of shipping it right to their house, they ship it out of state and loan it somewhere for a couple months, and then they ship it back to themselves, and that clears them. They have no tax obligation whatsoever on that $100 million purchase. It's, you know, having something, having things purchase-based, you know, it's got to be unfairly. And you really scared me before when you said that you thought it was okay that people who aren't working would still be paying taxes on their rent and their food. And, you know, as a society, you know, it's just flat-out suicidal to, you know, that we commoditize these, you know, basic necessities of life, food and, you know, shelter. I don't know how you're going to get people on board with that.
Bill and Angela, as you both know, the truth of the matter is right now that the middle class is supporting the lower class. Would you agree, Bill?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And the fair tax will give a remittance to everybody if they're a legal resident, and so that the persons on the low end of the income tax scale or the payment scale will come out ahead. They'll have more money in their pocket, and it's not welfare. It's intended to be a remittance of taxes paid. So if we didn't do it that way, we'd have to have an IRS and an income tax, and we don't want to do that. So if the folks on the low end get a little bit of a break, well, that's okay.
Bill, we're out of time, but I'd like you to get some information out for people who want more information about the fair tax.
Yes, sir. Fairtax.org, fairtax.org. You'll get a lot of information there, more than you can get a PhD in.
Well, let us hope by the time we talk again next year, Mr. Spillane, that you've got some more traction under your feet here with this.
George, I love you, and you're a real patriot for sticking with us and so forth and letting us talk about this. And I really thank you from the bottom of my heart.
All right, Bill, you take care of yourself. And, of course, as we roll into Tuesday now, folks, it's income tax filing time. And also, don't forget to get up to the website and take a look at what's left of the blood moon eclipse. If you haven't had a chance to see it, you'll get three other chances over the next year. I'm George Norrie. We will be back in a moment as we switch gears to talk about ET cases.